I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the Rouse County check sheet for September 11th, 2018. Cycle date, September 3rd through September 7th. Accounts payable checks in the amount of $1,069,679.61.
Second.
Items in order, Tom?
Yes, I have several items to bring your attention. Payment to Colorado Mountain College. This is for the extension service. As you know, they held a master gardening training up here. So this was for lodging for that conference. $5,197.75. Payment to Duffel's Construction Inc. This is from Public Works Road and Bridge, and this is for construction of the Butler Creek Bridge, $296,524.94. Payment to Kilgore Company, Public Works Road and Bridge again. This is for the purchase of gravel, and this gravel amounts purchased were for roads, County Roads 62, 60, 129, and 42. Cost of $55,703. Payment to EnviroTech Services, Inc. This, again, was Public Works Road and Bridge. Mag chloride payment. This is a payment of the retained earnings, $28,037. Payment to GMCO. Most of the payments here today that I'm quoting are for Road and Bridge Public Works. Another one there, this is for the 2018 Chip and Seal and Fog Seal Program, $232,081. Payment to Old Castle. This is, again, Public Works Road and Bridge, and this is 2018 asphalt road patch material, $158,476.96. Payment to Advanced Tower Services, and this is for the Comm Center, and this is for improvements to meet the OSHA standards for the Oak Creek Tower site. And then finally, payment to Resource Exploration LLC, and this is from the Board of County Commissioners Office and our priority-based budgeting project, and the payment of $40,000.
Half of that will come back in a
grant.
DOLA grant.
So that's all I had.
Any other questions, comments? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. So items of note from yesterday's work session, we met with the county manager, assistant county manager, had our legal update. We had an update from Human Services, Building Department, and the Planning Department.
So we have a resolution on consent agenda item E, so I just need a number for that.
So the other question I have before we go into that, Tom, is on item C for the electronic submission of the Human Resources Grant application. Who are we authorizing to sign that?
You know, it'd be Kelly Keith. Because they'll be the.
Okay, that's fine. So I guess as we do that, but that's fine. We ought to have in here in the motion language by whom?
Okay.
We don't. Yeah, I'm fine with that for now. The resolution's 042.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that we approve consent agenda items A through G, noting that item C will be signed by Kelly.
Second.
And G is 2018-042.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Morning. So we have a special event liquor license for Steamboat Springs Arts Council. Approval to sign a special events liquor license for Steamboat Art Council for an event to be held at the La Jolla. Is that correct?
You
say what?
La Jolla Dolce.
Okay. Yep. on September 19th, 2018, from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. So any questions or motion then?
Sure. You got it? I got it. Mr. Chairman, I move to approve and authorize your signature on a special event liquor license for Steamboat Springs Arts Council for an event to be held at La Gioia Dolce, 47050 County Road 129, Steamboat Springs, Colorado, on September 19th, 2018, from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
Good morning, good afternoon. We're close to there.
Coming. She hasn't responded to any of my phone calls.
This is the Wagner one?
Yes.
Oh.
So give us a little bit of scoop on it.
All
so
right.
Then we basically have the abatement form that was filled out mm-hmm. from Deborah and Douglas Wagner.
Yep, and she also did a 2018 protest at the time, which was denied and not pursued. The times I've talked to her, she wanted to know how to change the mill levy. So it wasn't really about value of taxes.
She didn't have any problems with the assessed valuation?
No, she said she might withdraw, but then she never did, so I'm not for sure.
Going through the process right now, then?
Yeah, well, that was for tax year.
Unless she surprises me and she's okay.
So I would move that we deny the abatement request.
Is here for
no.
Okay.
No.
R655 for account number R6552546. The move that we deny the petition for abatement based on the fact that we don't have any information to justify that abatement.
Second.
You don't want to hear anything from our side?
I did do the sales.
No, I think.
Okay.
I mean, if we don't have any information from the petitioner or whatever, it's a default in my mind that unless you guys, well, and you didn't have in your from Angeli, we didn't have any request to adjust or something that brought the light on something.
Yeah, she didn't put down a value. Just she was upset about the percent increase, and I had conversations with her, and she wanted to know how to change the mill levies, so I referred her to.
We don't talk about taxes really, here.
Yeah. But the sales do support it. Her value came at 191. The median of the three was 189 per square foot. So.
Yeah, I always say that because. In past hearings, with a petitioner being absent, we've still had to
put on the record.
Justify our support for the value.
But I have that
person. Yeah. I'm good.
Okay.
You good?
Yep. You're driving the
Thank
bus.
You.
That's all right. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 I'll take this.
Okay. Okay, we got our next petition is account R6166183, Mystic Canyon Ranch LLC. And I'll start off with you, Gary.
Christy, agent, you want to come up?
Yep, come on up, Christy.
Where did you want to go?
Join all of us, and it's our turn. Join with all of us.
You guys want me to?
We want you right here.
Sit right here.
Yeah.
We don't.
Thank
wait.
You.
How are you doing, Christy?
Good. How are you?
So why again do you need all of us up here? So I mean, with it's your situation. I don't even know who the other gentleman is.
It's my attorney.
Okay.
And my chief deputy, Patrick Hardy. This is.
I know Patrick. Yes. Thank you very much. Okay. Go ahead. Gary,
okay.
We can vacate our space.
So I received this abatement request from Christy Belton, who is the tax agent for the Mystic Canyon Ranch property. We discovered some two large outbuildings that were not on the tax roll. built in 15 and 16, or 14 and 15, I can't remember. I think it was 14 and 15, I apologize. So we S&OV'd them, set up a special notice of value for the omitted property, missing from the tax roll. This is a regular practice, discovery, listed, just classify it and value it. The notices went out in late October. They have a 30-day appeal period. And after that, the tax roll correction is sent up to the treasurer's office. And on 12/27/17, the tax roll correction appeared to have been processed by the treasurer's office and put onto the tax roll. And starting in February, I think late February, a interest charge showed up in the tune of about $400. I got a call from Mrs. Belton, I want to say early March, inquiring about that. I did some research on that, speaking with the Division of Property Taxation. And this was something where it appeared that the interest clock should not start until the additional assessment was notified to the property owner that here's your assessment. They're allowed due process on that. So,
so wait a second, make sure we're clear here. So when the assessment, that's your assessment, was sent to the taxpayer?
Yes. Yes. The statute itself reads,
you know, I think we read it.
Interest shall not be charged prior to the date on which additional assessment is made, is the language in the statute, and speaks to these additional assessments made by either the assessor or the treasurer, retroactive assessments, when it's not a case of a fraudulent action.
So what is the description or the definition of when the assessment is made? Is that an official notice to them?
I think that's up to debate. On omitted property, the division and another statute says that omitted property, the taxes are levied on the date the tax bill is mailed, the revised tax bill, the new tax bill is
as opposed to a special notice of value.
Yeah. Somebody else may interpret it as of the date that my notice of value goes out. There's a statute.
Imagine that. We have conflicting statutes.
Yeah.
Who knew?
39.5.125, omissions, corrections of errors, paren 4. Omitted property is added by the assessor or the treasurer for a prior assessment year, then a petition for abatement or refund may be filed at any time after the taxes are levied and an amended tax bill has been generated, but before the two-year period following the January 1. It's basically saying the two-year clock starts when the taxes are levied. Taxes are considered levied when the treasurer generates a new tax bill. Treasurer disagrees, states that basically,
we'll be able to hear from her, yeah.
So I'm
confused here in the numbers and the rest and what actually the abatement request is being. And we have this table here of the numbers,
yeah.
The 6180 and the 6307, and then we have the 271.96 and the 126.
Yeah, so this is just a screenshot from the treasurer's website that I pulled at one juncture. And the 12/27 date is when they're making the correction to the account's tax roll.
Where are you at, Gary?
In the middle there, you see 12/27 dates. There's about nine of them together.
There's a tax adjustment.
Yeah, so there's also, Yeah, so those taxes have been paid, so there's a credit back to the original tax amount, and the additional assessment added and a new tax for like 15 generated is a total of 2786.
So all of the entries from 12 on 12,
yeah,
from 1227,
and certainly the treasurer's office can better explain than I, you know, how these line items.
But the bottom line here is that the actual amount of the tax is not in question. The only thing that's in question here is interest.
That is correct, right?
And that's the two top numbers, which add up to 124.87.
No. You also have the 228 numbers of 126 and 271.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are the original interest for the 2 years prior that is being charged to the assessment. That was
so. I think that's where we're confused. We're seeing two. We're seeing several different numbers interest payments for the 2 years in question.
And then, my recommendation to Christy and her clients was pay the tax bill because, regardless of the abatement filed, the interest clock continues to run.
So that's why it's showing up as interest payment.
So July 19th,
they actually paid it.
They paid the tax of $1,261 for 16 of additional assessment, $1,236 of 2015's additional assessment taxes.
So they paid the $124.87 of interest for those first 2 years?
No, that's the interest, I believe, from February 28th through July 19th.
So that's the interest that, in your view, they appropriately did, in fact, owe.
Well,
I mean, it's...
No, I question
I'm trying
that.
To sim- I'm trying yeah, to simplify yes. what you're trying to tell us
okay.
here.
All right.
Is that there 4 years' worth of interest?
So...
And that two of the years probably should not be charged, in your view?
Yes, I most certainly believe the 126.15 and the 271 that was paid on July 19th, those two line item interest, lines 4 and 5 down the line, or down the list, were paid along with the taxes, along with the additional interest from the February 28th mark to the January 19th mark.
So you're saying that amount, the 271, 96 and the 126.15,
yes, that,
were appropriate to be paid?
No.
Those are the ones that you think should not have been paid?
I think most certainly shouldn't be paid based off of the statute 3910.
So what about the 61?
Hang on, let me finish the... Based on 3910, what?
101.
And which says what?
That you have a interest shall not be charged prior to the date on which additional assessment is made.
And which is made, and that's why I asked you earlier, made, the definition of that is what we're hazy on.
Okay.
Your definition is that when we sent the notice of the new notice of valuation, the NOV, that had the missing
I properties. Believe it's when the taxes are levied, when the treasurer puts it on, corrects her tax roll, puts it on her system, and then she'll be mailing a tax bill that day or the next day, notifying the property owner of what the additional charge is.
Okay.
So we already know what her position on that is based on her letter and the fact that,
I just want to, so there's four interest numbers here, okay?
The first
what amount did you apply to have refunded to you? What was the number? Was it $398.11?
Yeah, I don't think there was ever a number in there. Assessed the, if we look at the abatement, there was no number.
Because I'm looking at these four interest payments, so I guess let me just ask this to you simply. Out of those four numbers, which ones do you believe should be refunded to the property owner?
Most certainly the larger two, which is the retroactive interest from the original assessment or due date of taxes for the 15 and 16 years.
So that's $398.11.
Okay.
Then what about the 6180 and the 6307? Were those proper?
I think with the practice or policy of the treasurer's office to not send out a revised tax bill to the property owner notifying them of a new bill, that she is not essentially levying the tax.
Okay.
And properly notifying the property owner.
So you believe that could also potentially be a refund as well, so for a total of $522.98.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
How many SNLVs do you send out in a year, Gary? Roughly, just a round number.
Well, I want to preface that into two pieces. We have to send out SNLVs because, like on a possessory interest, we don't get the information in time to go out with the May 1st or the June 15th personal property and natural resources regular NLVs. So they go out later, and those could be, you know, 200 to 400 SNLVs. But for omitted property, this type of case, it probably averages about 20 a year, 15 to 25 a year.
Thank you.
And so do we wait to send them all out at once, or do we send them out whenever we discover
them? You know, the ARL recommends, and the statute, I believe, says, you know, immediately following the discovery, the assessor is to do it. There are times when we're kind of frozen out for making changes, when we're trying to balance for the certification of abstract, for the August certification, again, in December. So there's times when we can't do it for balancing purposes. There's other times we're just too darn busy to do it, so we'll do them in batches. It's something that occurs almost throughout the year. Tax roll corrections going up to the treasurer's office on a regular basis.
I got another question for you, Gary. Both of these buildings that were built, you made the judgment that they were, in fact, ag buildings that did not need, you don't believe, needed building permits?
Yes, I've spoken with my appraiser that's in charge of this territory, Sarah Ann Hagemu. She's in the audience right now. So these did not require a building permit from the county, so they were legally erected by the property owner. So we don't have any deception or any fault of theirs.
Okay.
At the same time, it's not really viewed as the fault of my office. If we don't have some kind of permit, it's not readily viewable. It's not
right.
In an article in the newspaper about
it's,
these buildings.
It's an ongoing problem with the way we do business here
so,
in the county.
So it's just something that once you discover it, you put it on the tax roll, but... you know, there's.
I've heard almost enough.
Me too.
Say what? What's that?
I think I've heard enough.
I think we need to defer to the treasurer.
Why?
Well, she sent us a letter in regards to it.
That's fine. I read the letter.
We're paying a bunch of money for our attorney to show up here.
I'd rather not. Frankly speaking. Just from my perspective, I'm extremely frustrated by all of the legal mumbo-jumbo and conflicting statutes and this, that, and the other thing. It seems like what the assessor has presented is fair, that doing the right thing. I mean, just setting all that stuff aside, your client didn't know they owed the money, didn't know they were generating interest. How we go about rectifying that situation is the only question in my mind.
So you're not interested in letting the treasurer...
I'm interested in letting the treasurer speak her piece. Yes.
Okay.
And again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the treasurer. I'm just saying, I mean, what we're going to hear is more legal, conflicting legal opinions.
We really don't have the ability to.
It doesn't change the facts on the ground that I don't believe that this individual.
It doesn't justify whether the situation is right.
Exactly. You know, we're not here sitting as the Colorado Supreme Court. We're just trying to do the right thing by our constituents.
I would think that probably even the very most diligent of citizens doesn't regularly check the Route County website to see if their property has been reassessed in any way, and so it's up to us to be able to notify people when they owe money.
And so, I mean, that's fine. I'm happy to defer to you, Mr. Chairman, if you would like to hear from the treasurer. I'm just not sure how helpful it will be in this situation.
Well, I think we all owe the courtesy to allow to hear for it.
Okay.
So, Britta, do you guys want to come up, or what do you want to do? Scoot over there. That's fine. Yep, scoot over that way. Be good. Christy.
Sure.
Introduce yourself for the record, if you could.
Sure. My name is Stephen Clenda. I represent Ms. Horn in her capacity as treasurer of our family.
And I guess you're leading off, so.
I'll lead off. And the reason I'm leading off is because this doesn't just involve a bunch of legal mumbo-jumbo. And legal mumbo-jumbo, as you put it, matters, because the statute only allows the Board of County Commissioners to do particular things at particular times. It doesn't give it authority to just do the right thing for whatever reason it wants to do it. And the Commission's decision here, in a context in which one public official, the assessor, has accused another public official, the treasurer, of illegally charging interest, affects not only the treasurer here, but it also affects what treasurers do in other counties, because the method the treasurer uses here is the same method the treasurer uses in other counties. And what the assessor has done is to pick out a particular statutory provision out of context, not paying attention to the definition that applies, and essentially turn a personal disagreement into an illegal act, and that's wrong.
Can I interrupt for a minute?
Sure.
Mr. Clenda, did the assessor file any charges against the treasurer?
No, there are no...
Okay.
And I don't know that, you know, whether it was an illegal act or accusation of an illegal act.
Well, there in fact was in the petition, but used in the sense of not committing a crime, which
well,
is
there
what,
was a disagreement
which is what
of the interpretation
which
statutes.
Is what you're getting to, but the statute for abatement applies to only erroneous or illegal acts. Okay? And that okay. definition, that's what you're authorized to abate, all right? And that definition, the Colorado Supreme Court has says there's only four things that qualify in that definition, and that's the Boulder B. Health South case. It's in the letter. You can read it. You can treat it as mumbo-jumbo if you like, but it is what the Colorado Supreme Court has said.
I apologize for the use of the phrase mumbo-jumbo.
Okay, well, you know.
Conflicting interpretations of state statutes about that.
Oftentimes it might seem that way, and I appreciate that. But there is a difference between doing a legal analysis that pays attention to the law and just plucking something out of context that says, well, we can do whatever we want, okay? So if you look at the Boulder v. HealthSouth case, what the Supreme Court said there is, okay, commissioners, you can abate stuff that's erroneous or illegally levied, right? And it says, but there's four words after that. There's four things that come after that, whether it's A or B or C or D. And this doesn't qualify as A or B or C or D. Because those four things are an erroneous valuation. That's not an issue.
You know what? I'm not even disputing.
I feel like this is a very expensive meeting for the taxpayers. So maybe in the interest of putting this to bed, Mr. Chair, I would move that we deny the abatement, but work with the petitioner to give them $522.98 from our general fund. Then we're not running afoul of the law in the analysis of the treasurer, and we're able to make it right with our citizens who weren't properly
certified.
Any other discussion? I agree, and I guess...
The treasurer objects because that's an end around the statute.
I understand that, and again, we're not rebating anybody else's interests. We're taking right straight out of the Rock County General Fund. So any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Also, we haven't seen a bill from your firm in about 3 months. Is there any chance we're going to be getting one soon?
Or are you doing this pro rata?
It's coming.
Thank you.
So we got the first item here is the grievance board decision.
Are they open for now? Well, Harry makes his motion to go into the open.
Yeah. So we have a request from the county, that the county commissioners hear an employee's appeal of the grievance board's decision upholding an employee's dismissal. So with that, I'd ask the employee, do you want to have this in executive session or you want this in public session?
I believe it's an executive session. Right?
It's of your choice.
It's your choice.
So, that's fine. So, With that, I would move that we go into executive session to under CRS section 24-6-402, parens 4, parens F, and parens I, discussion of a personnel matter involving an employee who has not requested the discussion to be in open public session.
Second.
And that will be at 1 o'clock exactly, and included in the executive vote on the second, included in that will be the employee, public works director, public works assistant director, and head of human services, as well as Tom Sullivan.
Human resources.
Well, okay, human resources. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
And then for the record, let's go ahead and vote on it. For the record, this will be recorded, and then we'll have a separate recording on that, and we'll go from there. All in favor of going into the executive session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So for the record, we came back out of executive session at 1:24.
I can make the motion.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead and do that.
Mr. Chairman, pursuant to sections 5.11.8 and 5.11.9 of the Employee Handbook, we have reviewed the grievance board's decision upholding the employee's dismissal, and I would move that we uphold the findings of the grievance board.
I'll second that. And then just for comment and discussion, too, Cliff, you'd notice, so we had noted in the record that you'd noted in your request that there might be a potential conflict of interest with Commissioner Hrabosinski, and that's why she is not here. She recused herself from the discussion and the deliberation, so I just wanted you to know that as well. And that goes on the record that Commissioner Hrabosinski had excused herself from the proceeding. So with that, have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Cliff, good luck to you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I've been having a rough day so far. So
you have.
Second part of our 1 o'clock.
Try and make this quick and easy.
Sure.
We're in the second part of our 1 o'clock-ish items, and that's a new lead line cook position and pay scale. So, Kathy?
Yeah. Kevin Booth is requesting to add the position of a new lead line cook and pay scale. The intent of the position is to manage this position will manage the line cooks and assist with their on-the-job training. Also, in the absence of either or both the restaurant manager and assistant restaurant manager, this role will fill the leadership roles in the kitchen. The lead line cook responsibilities will also allow the restaurant manager and assistant restaurant manager additional time to focus on their administrative duties during business hours instead of working additional hours. This will also provide an opportunity for one of the existing line cooks to be promoted and compensated in line with their capabilities and leadership potential. This Kevin Booth is planning to fill this with an internal candidate, and it's been estimated that the additional cost to fill the position with an internal candidate will be a difference in pay of $2,700 for 2018.
So we're not adding a new FTE, then we're changing an FTE, so the line cook that was there is now going to be a lead line cook, or one of the line cooks that was there is going to now be a lead line cook.
That's correct.
And then we're not replacing the line cook that got moved up.
That will get moved up, yes.
Yeah.
And I've gone out and Kevin proposed a pay scale, and I went ahead and researched the information and reviewed Colorado Ski Area's compensation and information from the occupational employment and wage rates. And based on what information they have, I've benchmarked this position against a sous chef salary, which is basically somebody who is just underneath the executive chef and has the same job responsibilities as our lead line cook will have. And based on the information I found, it does match, or Kevin's proposed pay scale is on target.
So, question to you. You approved the job descriptions. We approved the pay scales.
I have.
You've already approved the job
descriptions. In my comments, from Kevin's justification, it was really persuadable that he needs a lead line cook that can provide training on the line as well as the supervision on the line.
So we're only approving the pay scale here.
Yes, sir.
So you'll still have to come back and we'll have to approve what step this individual?
If it's above three.
Yes. Okay. Well, presumably it won't be.
I do not know. It depends on the candidate and their skill set.
And it depends on what Kevin's desire might be, too.
That's correct.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the new lead line cook pay scale.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. Thank you very much. So we got our purchasing, a 210 item. We're going to take off a little early here. The 624 emergency services 250 truck replacement state bid. So, Fred.
Consideration for approval for purchase and authorization of the chairperson to sign a purchase order to Spradley Bar Motors, Fort Collins, Colorado, in the amount of $33,105.84 for one 2018 Ford F-250 truck for the emergency services. The truck will also need approximately $9,000 of electronic equipment installed by Avtec.
We couldn't move any of it over from...
And this is just 1 year early because of the...
It's probably most of it's all...
Yeah, it's a deer or elk?
That's Geo. Geo. So
okay, good.
Well, so his
elk?
Geo?
So... Mr. Corrigan was asking whether the stuff off of the Explorer or whatever it was.
No, he won't. Some of the radios and stuff we're going to transfer, but the lights and all that stuff gets specific because we had an Expedition before, so as a new Explorer and the switches and stuff that they won't fit. So I'm sorry, F-250. we will do it for replacement next year, but we. Bit of the process.
And then Sue's got that insurance filed on that thing too.
Yes. We received
$5,900
from the insurance.
That was what was totaled out.
Oh, okay, was in there. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess the question I'll have, whether Gio or you or Mo, so are you going to leave it just an open bed in the back? Or are you going to get some? Going to buy a camper at a later point? Or not a topper? A topper instead of
Sir. So we opted. Well, I was opted for a 251. I didn't think we needed the Expedition, which are much more expensive. But I was looking at what the undersheriff drives, you know, the topper, so it's a lightning tracker. Getting a lot of lightning today.
I want one of those.
We'll have a camper, and then there's a pull-out in the back, so you can pull out your equipment and stuff back there that share.
Is it a double cab?
Yes.
Okay. The little rumble seat in the back?
Yes.
Okay. So
we'll have a camper. We'll have a topper.
So that's not, how are we handling that? Is that going to be a...
That's part of it. Yeah, it's part of it. We included that in the...
It's in the whole
Yeah, in the included with the Avtec. Yeah, so $33,000 is the truck itself, and then we estimate to be somewhere around $7,000 for Avtec, and then we have a $1,500 camper on it.
That's all I was saying.
That's a heck of a good price for an F-250 3/4 ton extended cab truck.
I know. So,
paid, right?
And have a good contract.
So that's not off of a state purchasing list. That's just negotiate that directly.
Nope. No, that's through a state bid.
Oh, that's a state bid.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we dealt with the state bid holder, which is Bradley Bar and Kelly, I think. So.
That's great. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm ready.
It's my turn. Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the purchase and authorize your signature on a purchase. Is it your signature or is it Tom's Electronics?
Probably Tom's Electronics.
Okay. County Manager's Electronic Signature on a purchase order to Spradley Motor Motors, Fort Collins, Colorado, in the amount of $33,105.84 for one 2018 Ford F-250 truck for emergency services, and not to exceed $9,000 for Avtec electronic equipment.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Very good.
Very good.
We'll tell my purchase order to sign. We'll have to put in the requisition.
So,
get it in there.
I go back on with our 220 item emergency management fire restrictions. So, Mo, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, good afternoon. We had our fire restriction call again this morning at 9 o'clock. I was the only participant from Route County today, but all the other counties and our federal partners were represented. Bottom line is that I am recommending the continuation of stage one restrictions at this time. I would say within the county, we were pretty much status quo from last week. We had one district down south that's ready to come out. We had the district up north that is more adamant about staying in, and then the other three were pretty ambivalent. They can go either way. So it seemed to be pretty much split. So once again, without a preponderance of people wanting to come out, in addition to the red flag warnings we had this week and expected this weekend, the recommendation was to stay in stage one. As far as our neighboring jurisdictions, Rio Blanco will be coming out of restrictions at very early Saturday morning, and Grand County is supposed to come out of restrictions Thursday morning, but Jackson, Moffitt, and Route will be staying in stage one restrictions. And then all of our federal partners are basically mirroring what their counties are doing. So Route National Forest will stay in stage one, as well as the properties within Moffitt and Jackson.
I haven't heard anything from anybody.
I just had one call last week, asked when the hell we were going to take off the fire restrictions. I called him back and said, well, when the indices start pointing to, where are we at on the indices?
I'm sorry, I forgot. So we are down to two again, but once again, that's 6 weeks straight where we've changed, and we have not had two consistent weeks of the same restriction or the same indices over 6 weeks now.
So what are the two indices that we are currently?
The two that we're meeting are the has to do with the drought index, which
they're going to stay on the rest of the year.
They're going to stay on. So it's not so much of a, it's not primarily driven by indice. Now, that was a couple of comments from Chief Weisskopf where the indices don't support it. And like I replied to him, said, if we were strictly going by the indices, we'd be in and out of restrictions each of the six last consecutive weeks, in, out, in, out, in, out. So we would like to see at least two consecutive weeks of a trend. Like I said, there is a red flag warning today, or yesterday, today, expected to go tomorrow. And then Colt Morrison was saying we're expecting one this weekend as well, red flag warning. So.
Yeah, I mean, my view of it is it's not that much of an imposition to our constituents.
Have fires in a fire ring.
And then yeah. I spoke to afterward. I spoke to Chief Stewart because I said none of them are on the phone call, but I did coordinate with them last night and this morning. And I spoke to Chief Stewart, and yeah, they're kind of ambivalent, but he did think it was better to stay. He conceded later on that yeah, we should have stayed stage one. And then I spoke to Chief Fleck afterward because he was on the call. And, he agreed it's much drier up west.
So are you on our schedule next week again?
I believe so.
Well,
if you guys table it.
If we table it to next week.
Yeah, okay.
So I think, the only change is that Rio Blanco is planning on coming out on Saturday morning, 0001, and then Grand was talking about coming out Thursday morning. The other three staying in, but... there does seem to be a push going that direction. I think, barring any considerable dry spell, then I would anticipate more people coming out next week, to include Route County last week.
Okay.
It's definitely feeling like fall.
That's the big thing, is that the recoveries at night are getting better. We're still not getting enough rain, but it's recovering more at night relative to humidity, so that's helping. But we okay. still get
comfortable with tables.
So, Mr. Chair, I move that we table this item until September 18th.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Everybody on, then we're on with the 230 item. We got a request to reduce fees for a variance application. So, Alan, we'll start off with you if you could.
Yes.
Eric, you, Alan or Danny, whoever wants to lead off.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry, man. Either way, you know, I think that the issue is not yet kind of worked its way through, but at this point, and Alan probably can fill in the details of exactly where we're talking about, but the issue right now before us is the request from Mr. Wellstone to waive the application fee for complying with the variance or completing variance through the Board of Adjustment. And so he is seeking that based on the fact that he has a barn, or I guess that there was a structure on a property line that was subdivided. The applicant for a building permit, at one of the two parcels, that triggered, I guess, the identification of the fact that this barn was on the property line. In order to receive the building permit, that applicant had to get the barn off the property line and out of his property. So that was completed, but then in the process of doing so, I believe that the barn is kind of now falling down. It's a 1978, I believe, era barn. I have some pictures. I don't know if Mr. Wellstone has some pictures, but in the process of moving it, it kind of started to degrade, and so it's now in on Mr. Wellstone's part of the two parcels within the setback. And so the issue is to seek variance for where the barn is placed now, where it's been moved. And I've met with Mr. Wellstone and talked about the issue with the barn and the fact that it's likely to collapse in the next couple of years based on its condition, especially now after having been moved the distance it was moved, and just trying to get his property in compliance as far as the code. It seems like a variance to the Board of Adjustment would be the proper next step in order to comply. And so then we discussed the matter of the fee. And so he's made and you've got a letter in here in the packet. He's made a request to me seeking a modification of the fee. And so that's where we are.
So okay.
May I interject?
Yes.
For just quickly. Yes. Most of that is relatively accurate. I mean, but the barn itself was a pole barn built in 1978, and the property, I sold the property to Cody, the neighbor, and we knew all along that it was sitting there. We didn't know that it was going to become an issue. We actually had made a deal on the side saying, he's okay, and as soon as it falls down, then I'll obviously, if I rebuild, I'll do it on the right spot. So, but we went through. It was the barn was 48 feet in length, and we cut off the back 24 feet of it at the request that was being made in order to grant Cody the permit. And so we put in a ton of man hours, labor, and money in order to get that thing moved.
So you didn't actually move it.
Well, we did, yeah.
I was just—I'm curious how you move a pole
so
barn.
What was amazing is Cody, who's 30 years old. He's a very much an engineer, go-getter. He cut holes in it, bought steel beams, jacked it all up onto rollers. There was 20 people working on the project for three straight weekends. It was actually pretty cool. My kids will remember it the rest of their lives. I guarantee you that. But so we put a ton of work into moving it. At a certain point, we realized that if we moved it anymore, it was definitely going to go down. At which point, we left it there. The frustration really came where he was granted a building permit immediately. And at that point, we thought that everything was okay. And then I was sent a letter being made aware that, you know, that it still wasn't okay. And I found out that really the permit was granted without anybody ever even coming out and checking on the property. So we went through all this work, time, spent a bunch of time, money, effort to do it all, and it wasn't even worth the trip out there to make sure that it was done, I guess, and then the permit was granted. So that really is why I'm asking for the waiver, is because I've already spent quite a bit of money on this project. Not to mention, I have had to go and talk to an attorney a couple of different times because of the whole ordeal. And so meeting with Dan, you know, our meeting led to basically the suggestion that, hey, here's a way that we could potentially solve this thing and get it taken care of and put it to bed, you know, kind of once and for all. And so that's why I made the request.
You had a question. I have a question.
I forgot the question.
I guess my question is it, and I'm kind of fine with where we're heading here, and that's going to go down to the Board of Adjustment for a variance. How do we make a temporary variance that wouldn't be so that we know if Mr. Wellstone doesn't own the property, the next property owner there, that something recorded on the property saying that they can't replace the barn at the same location? And I don't know how that would be, whether that's just a contract between Rob County and Mr. Wellstone that would be recorded against that property just to historically participate in the discussions you've guys had and record for prosperity that.
Yeah, I think that what we talked about was not replacing the barn on the current site.
Right, I understand that.
And not repairing it.
And Mr. Wellstone's agreed to that,
yeah,
too.
Right.
I'm not really worried about Mr. Wellstone because he said that he didn't want to do that, and I'm fine with that too. But I want to make sure that if Mr. Wellstone sells the property and you know, when we're going to replace the barn in the same place, how we don't go through the same situation again.
Yeah.
Well, that would be taken care of, you know, pending the outcome of Board of Adjustment. I mean, because right now there's a code enforcement case on this property because there's the structure that's within the setback.
Okay.
And if the Board of Adjustment grants the variance, you know, it's basically good to go from that point of view, that size and location.
Okay, they still don't answer my question. What happens if he wants to build a new one there and replace that, and the variance is still good in the same location with the replacement barn, where the how do we make it a temporary variance?
It's not recorded on title, so Doug's saying a future landowner isn't going to know that if the barn falls down or if it's torn down, that they have to build it out
of the same spot within the setback.
Well, they would have to contact the office. I mean, because we would have that in file, you know, that the Board of Adjustment did approve variance for that structure in that location.
And so,
not for
but again, so
no, it covers the future as well.
So the opportune thing is that right now, and probably for a while, as long as I'm here, we're still not having building permits on ag buildings. So what's to say the next...
Come on, Doug.
John,
let's revisit that.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Since there's no building permit,
so they could put it back in there, and then nobody there.
Right. Well, they got a variance for it. What's the problem?
Well, that's why. So I mean, I don't know.
If the barn falls down,
I mean,
down,
especially
if
a Cody doesn't have a problem with it anyhow. So I mean,
and a future property owner on the other side of the line would know that variance existed. They'd know they'd be buying a property that.
And I'm fine with that too.
I am too.
Again,
just let it be a permanent variance and be done with it.
And Cody and I, just so you know, we did draw up a document when we made our real estate transaction stating that if I ever rebuild, it's going to be well within all the setbacks.
But did you guys record that on your titles?
Yeah, that may not be. That may not.
Probably didn't.
Not sure.
Yeah.
Not sure.
I'm good.
I'm
an irrelevant discussion
I'm in
here,
support
so.
Of this. I just want to know why you didn't request that it was zero.
Because I wanted to, I guess, truthfully, because I wanted to seem as though I wasn't trying to be confrontational, and I really didn't want to. That's
I
the
support
reason.
Waiving the fee altogether.
Huh?
I'd support waiving the fee altogether. We don't need
to. You're the one going to be making the motion. We'll see how it goes.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that we
waive
the fee for Mr. Wellstone's variance application altogether.
Second. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Very good.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you.